As was mentioned during the announcements and several times before this morning, that Justin is in Japan. And so some of the men have volunteered to step in while he's away. He'll be away for 3 Sundays, as it was mentioned. He felt really bad because there's a misconception that he is over preaching, but he's not over in Japan preaching. He was invited by Joel Weber and his family to join them on their trip to Japan. Good thing for Joel, for Justin, is that Joel had plenty of miles to pay, so he didn't have to pay for airfare. So it's kind of hard to turn down a trip like that. And so everybody deserves a break, and we're glad that he's able to do that. Also, Robert Sinclair, it wasn't mentioned, he's still traveling, still in Florida, and should be coming home sometime this month. And then Bill mentioned it was on the overhead, too, regarding building cleaning. And so I'd like to touch base with that, because July is a difficult month, and I got a feeling that's the reason why a lot of people, you know, said, I'll sign up before, which they did, and some flying up afterwards, which they did. And so that's taking care of that, but we need to sign up. I know that Bill and Annette are going to be gone in July. Maria and I are going to be gone in July as well. And there's going to others be gone in July. And what I'd like to suggest, if there's 4 families, and including myself, can get together, we could all just clean one Sunday or for one service. So if you want to do that, see me. It needs to be cleaned, you know, next month, August, September, all those months, and have been taken care of, but we really need to take care of July. Nobody likes to come to a building that's trash cans are full and the floors are dirty. So with that said, let's talk about the lesson this morning. I'm going to ask you to kind of put up with me, because I am not Justin, and I love Justin to death. He's probably one of the best preachers I've ever heard with respect to putting his message and getting it across. And so my shortcomings, I ask you to bear with me on that. What I want to talk about this morning is a journey. Okay, and you've probably heard, and it may not go exactly like this, but a journey of 1,000 miles begins with what? One step, right? You can't start to go anywhere unless you begin with one step. And most of the time, if we travel, you know, we're going to have a map to show us how to get there. Joel and his family and Justin are in Japan. They had to have a way to get there, right? And so Joel has made all these arrangements. And so he's planned for this trip. And that's what we have to do. But we have to do the same thing in life. But we can't do it without a roadmap. And God has given us that roadmap through his word. And when you look at Psalm 119, verse 105, it says, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path." I don't know if you've ever thought about this, but when it says a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, God has told us what we need to be aware of and our surroundings around us. So he's given us a lamp to our path so we can see. But he hasn't said, you just keep walking here, don't look up because you're going to look. But he's going to give us a light to see where we're going. And so he's given us a light unto our path and our trip to him. And hopefully we're going on that trip to heaven. The one thing I'd like to talk about, and it kind of goes with this lesson this morning, is that there are 3 traits that every Christian should have. And I want, as we go through this, I want you to think about yourself, as I thought about myself as I read through these things. But the first thing that we need to be aware of, I'll get it here, I got these things going slow, so you have to bear with me. And the first one is self-awareness. And what is self-awareness? I think most of us are aware of what that is. But self-awareness is the ability to see yourself clearly. And that's one thing that we need to understand about ourselves. If we're going to go on that trip, we need to understand what we're all about and what we need to know and what can we do. What do we need to do to prepare ourselves? But self-awareness, when we look at it, and especially the younger people today, and I know that my mother, 84 years old, is aware of this because my children, when they go and visit grandma, they take selfies. And so we see people taking selfies all the time. But if they don't like the selfie, if you don't like your selfie, what are you going to do? delete, right? And so you've avoided that skill with respect to being aware of what's going on. It's our tendency to do two things, to see ourselves only at our best angle. Don't take a picture of me this way, hit this side, right? And to see ourselves at our worst angle. And we know those angles. So this goes far beyond appearance into our heart. Without the power of self-awareness, we live with blind spots about our character deficits and over-exaggerate our character virtues. This will lead us to take action with inaccurate information about our abilities, flaws, and ourselves. Cultivating self-awareness is placing ourselves in God's presence with the desire to accept knowledge about ourselves on both sides of the spectrum, where we've not been clear of the depth of our depravity as well as the strength of our abilities. And so when you think about self-awareness, I mean, efficacy, I knew I was going to have a problem with that word, and I can say it at home, but not here. But what is self-efficacy? Self-efficacy is the belief that you can accomplish what you set out to do. And it says, it might sound simple, but in reality, our true belief that we can be successful at life is built from a complex set of factors, including our previous successes, vicarious experiences by watching others, and beliefs we've developed from the feedback of others and our own temperament. Cultivating this trait requires a strong filter on where we receive truth about ourselves and how we can define a good life. And one of the things that you've probably all heard this, I've heard it before, it says, you know, if you can dream it, you can achieve it. But you really can't achieve it unless you go through the motions to set things to accomplish it. I can dream all day long, you can dream all day long about being this or being that or having this, but until we take that first step, until we make the effort to do that, we're not going to be able to do it. And then the third thing I want to talk about this morning is courage. And what is courage? Courage is the igniter for self-awareness and efficacy. See, I told you I can pronounce efficacy. I know I could, at home I was saying, I know as soon as I get up here I'm going to misstate this. But it's courage. Courage is the igniter for self-awareness and self-efficacy. Thank you again, Mike. But we need to think about those things. Now, and what is it? We need to think about the self-awareness. I know that many of us sometimes think about these three things, self-awareness, self-efficacy, and courage. But when we do that, we need to be aware of ourselves. And as this child looks into the mirror, at this reflection of herself, we do the same thing. Sometimes we look into that mirror and we see ourselves. But sometimes what we were talking about before is when we see it, we may vision ourselves as something that we truly aren't. And so one of the things that we need to think about is that, really, who am I? Who's going to tell me who I need to be when I look in that mirror and I see that reflection? Am I really going to be truthful about myself? But how do I know what truth is and what should I be doing? God's word, and Paul said in 1 Corinthians 13, 11 and 12, he says, when I was a child, he says, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I am also known. The only way that we know who we really are is through God's word. That's got to be the mirror of our life. Because if we're not careful, you know, we can be looking in a mirror that distorts things and see ourselves in different ways that it's not. And then the other thing that we think about is like we were talking about before. Just as this man is looking in a mirror, he may be looking back at himself when he was younger. Maybe he's dreaming about somebody that he wants to be or thinks that he is. Can you see that okay? And so that's the thing that we need to be careful of when we see these things in our reflection. We need to be truthful with ourselves. James, in James 1, verse 22, beginning, he says, "But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves." Don't think that you're somebody as that man was in the mirror, that you're not. He says, "For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is a man like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. And once he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was." And that's what it is. I mean, people constantly have to go back and look in the mirror. Is my hair in place? Is my tie right? Is my shirt tucked in? Does it look right? We tend to forget about what we look like. And so we want to go back and make sure that we are, if we're keeping ourselves up, is that we're looking in that mirror, that we're getting a true reflection of who we look like and what we are. But God's word is the one that says that he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. If we don't know what God's word tells us, then we're going to go away and we're going to forget about it. And then you think about this man. Deep in thought, who am I? Some of us, we may sit in our living room, we may sit in a car, we may go out, as we talked about this morning in Bible class, where Jesus would go to the Garden of Gethsemane. There may be places that we go that we just sit and contemplate, who am I? And what am I doing here? And why am I doing the things that I do? We all say things, we all do things that we shouldn't do, and we have to sit back and reflect on those things and compare that not only to the mirror and look we're looking at, but we need to compare it to what God's mirror is. Is and what he's telling us to do. I want you to think about this back in Jeremiah 17, verses 9 and 10. It says, "Thus says the Lord, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" You don't know what's in my heart. I don't know what's in your heart unless you tell me. And so when you think about the things where he says, the heart is deceitful above all things, we can be deceitful towards one another. We can act like we're somebody that we're not. And so we may be able to fool each other, but we're not going to be able to fool God. Verse 10, it says, "I, the Lord, search the heart. I test the mind, even to give every man according to his own ways, according to the fruit of his doings." And so we need to remember that God tests the minds. We talked about it in Mike's Bible class this morning in the book of John, that what are we supposed to be as a congregation of God's people here and universally? We're supposed to have the same mind. And so when you think about it, God is going to test our minds. He knows what we're thinking, even though you don't know what I'm thinking, nor do I know what you're thinking unless you tell me the truth. And then we talked about self-efficacy. And just a reminder, self-efficacy is the belief that you can accomplish what you set out to do. And so we need to be careful about these things, because one of the things that we can, in the world in which we live, social media is huge, especially with the young people, and some of us that are older may be more computer literate. But it comes down to this. It says, if our understanding of the world is built from social media streams and reality shows, then our fundamental understanding of how we can see can succeed will be skewed. We will develop unrealistic expectations for what we think we should be for the world, and we'll surely fail. Self-efficacy is a resilient power to set a goal worth attaining and then to stick to it, regardless of the setbacks. And that's the problem that sometimes we as Christians, if we're down that road and we've got our goal, folks, something happens in our life just falls apart. What do? Sometimes we just give up, and we can't do that. What we have to do is get up, brush ourselves off, and keep going. And he says, instead of self-efficacy, maybe the better word is, he says perhaps as God efficacy. The belief that we can accomplish what God sets out for us to do. Seeking an understanding of godly success through Scripture and then trusting God will make good on his promises creates an inner resolve and strength that sustains us through even the most difficult time. And so as this lady is proceeding out, we don't know where she's going, but hopefully that when we look at it, that she has got her mind set out on what she's going to do. And she's going to be, and hopefully she'll continue to go, and she'll be successful at doing what that is. And so we want to be able to think about that with respect to God's Word. And when you look at it, how are we going to do that? How are we going to be able to set those goals? When you think about Paul writing to the Philippians, Philippians 2, verses 5 through 7, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus." And in order for us to be successful in what we do as a Christian, we need to have the same mind that Jesus did. We look back and we think about self-awareness. He knew who he was, and he had to constantly, I'm sure, look at himself because of the things that were going around about him. And then we talk about now, what was his goal and what was his motive? It was to come to this world to save you and to save me. And so he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men." Son of God in heaven, everything he wanted to. He comes to this world and he has nothing. But he set it all aside. He says he made himself of no reputation. Look at me, I'm the Son of God. But he didn't do that. He said he took on the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, like you and me, flesh and blood. And he was able to taste all those things that we did. And then you look at this man. Hopefully he's centered and is focused on his trip of what he's doing. But most of us, that's what we need to do. We need to be aware of where we're going and continue on that journey. Philippians, the third chapter, verses 13 and 14. He says, "Brother, I do not count myself," and this Paul writing to the Philippians, listen what he's saying regarding his journey. He says, "Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Jesus Christ." In order for us to achieve goals, we have to keep going forward. We can't look behind us and constantly live our lives on what happened in the past. We need to be able to forgive ourselves, ask others to forgive us if that's what it takes, and continue down that road. We can't live in the past. And that's the problem that people have, that we may find ourselves living in the past, and therefore we can't go forward. And so just like we saw this, and you've seen it on the overheads that I've put, is when you look at that, that ought to bring a scripture to mind. And it was something that Jesus said. And Jesus said in Luke 9, verse 16, he says, "But Jesus said to him, no one having put his hand to the plow, looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So we need to think about who God, what does he want us to be? He wants us a people going forward, not looking back. If I ask you to think about Lot's wife, you would all pretty much tell what happened to her as a result of her looking back. And so, I'm not talking about Norma. I just want to make sure. Because Donnie always goes, "It's Lot's wife." It's not Lot's wife there, even though it is. But to think about those things is that don't look back. We got to keep pressing forward. Because if we're not, we're going to get ourselves caught up in the quagmire of life, and then we're going to be just stuck. We can't get out. We need to continue to go forward. And then the last of the three that we talked about before was courage. And that's what it takes when you think about it. I can be aware of myself. I can have a plan to go. But if I don't have courage to accomplish that, to put things aside that may be slowing me down, whatever they may be, there may be relationships, there may be family relationships, there may be jobs, there may be things that hold us back. But we need to have the courage to be able to overcome those things. So when we contemplate these things, just sit there, and you and I need to think about it. Do we have the courage to accomplish the goals which are set out before us? And so as this young lady's looking, is she contemplating, do I have the courage? Can I do this? We all get up every morning and we ask ourselves the same thing. Is it another day? I can't do this. But we need to think about it. Joshua, the first chapter, when you think about verses 8 through, and it really should be 8 through 9, but it says, the book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, God talking to Joshua, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. The instructions of Joshua are no different than the instructions to us today, is that we need to continue to look at God's word to find out, are we doing those things? And so he continues this thought. He says, for then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. People define prosperity in a lot of different ways, and it may be relative to every single one of us. But what is prosperous to us? Hopefully it's building treasures in heaven and not upon this earth. And he says, and then you'll have good success. According to whom? According to God's word. We'll be successful. But he says, have I not commanded you? And this is where courage comes in. He says, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And that's one thing I think that we tend to forget sometimes, is that we aren't strong. We don't have the courage to continue on. But we forget this one thing, as God told Joshua. He says, do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And we need to remember that. No matter what happens to us, whether we have ups and downs, no matter whether we lose everything that we have, God is still with us. Courage. How many of us have done this? Just put our heads down and said, man, I can't do this. But we need to lift ourselves up. We need to be able to do that. We need to stand up and do these things. And so as this young man could be thinking about, do I have the courage to continue on? We need to remember these things. Psalm 27, chapter verse 14, it says, wait on the Lord. Sometimes we don't have the patience to wait on God. We want to do things our way, kind of like Burger King, have it our way. But the psalmist says, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. And so that we need to pray for God. We need to ask him for wisdom. We need to ask him for strength to help us to be able to continue our walk in this world towards heaven. And then the other thing that we think about regarding courage is that sometimes courage looks us straight in the face, and then we become fearful. The courage that we thought we had 5 minutes ago, we no longer have it. And so you may see this man that's sitting there thinking, how am I going to do this? You know, do I have the strength to do it? But God's word tells us that we have. Matthew, the 10th chapter, and verse 28, Jesus said, do not fear those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Or rather, fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. You have a heavenly picture, and you have an earthly picture. And what Jesus is saying, look, don't fear men. You need to fear God. Because God, man can kill you physically, but God can destroy you both physically and spiritually. And our focus needs to be on God's word, not on what man is going to tell us we can do. And so as we look towards this journey, we need to make sure that we keep focused on the goal. That we don't look behind us to continue to say, well, what's happening? Look, this poor me, this is what happened to me. We need to stand up, brush ourselves off, and continue to move forward. Paul, writing to the Corinthians in chapter 16, verse 13 and 14, he says, watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong, and let all that you do be done with love. It goes back to the same words almost that he talked to Joshua. Joshua was told, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. To be brave, you have to have courage. So be courageous and to be strong. And but when we do that, it's not that we're going to go out and beat somebody up because we're strong, we're courageous. But everything we do as a Christian should be motivated by love. And that's what Paul's telling the Corinthians here. Is he says, let all that you do be done with love, because God is love. And God is love is a concept that the world has just turned upside down, and they don't really realize what they're saying when they say God is love, because they use it in the sense that, oh, you got to accept everybody and everything that everybody does because God loves everybody. But that's not what we need to do. Our actions need to take place and be motivated by love. And so as we close out the lesson this morning, I want you to think about those three traits. And this time we've changed the words around a little bit, but three traits we Christians should have. And hopefully as we went through these this morning, when you look at it, self-awareness. How aware are you? When you look at yourself in the mirror, who do you really see? Are you happy with whom you are? We need to look in ourselves and really take a, you know, very cautious accounting for ourselves and our lives and what we think and what we do. So we have self-awareness, self-efficacy. Is that we set a goal that we don't back down from it. We don't look back. And that's what God wants us to be. And then he wants us to have courage to do those things, to be courageous, to be strong, that we may continue on in our journey. So those are the things that we walk away with, hopefully, this morning. When I went through this and I looked at it, I thought, well, you know, 3 points. But it really hits every one of us in our daily lives. And we need to be aware of these things, and especially as Christians, do we have the courage to continue on with the journey? This lesson may not have been one for those who have never obeyed the gospel of Christ, but as part of the gospel of Christ, we need to hear, believe, repent, and confess, and then to be baptized into Jesus Christ and live faithfully after that. When you go back and you look at Romans, the 10th chapter, verse 17, it says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Who's telling you how to live your life? Your neighbor? Your mother? Sister? Brother? Your best friend at school or at work? Who's telling you how to get faith? But the word of God says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not by the word of others. Repent and believe. So what is it? Okay, I hear it, but now I got to believe it. And we need to truly understand this in Hebrews 11, verse 6, when it says, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. We're not going to make it to heaven if we don't believe who God is, and that we don't believe that Jesus Christ was his son, that he came to this earth, lived a perfect life, was willing to have himself sacrificed on that cross, die, shed his blood, that you and I might have our sins covered. But not only that, but then God raised him from the dead, that we might have hope of eternal life through him. And repent. 2 Corinthians, the 7th chapter, verse 10 says, for godly sorrow produces what? Godly sorrow produces repentance leading to salvation. Not to be regretted, but the sorrow of the world produces death. And we've all heard this before, is that sometimes when people are sorry, are they sorry that they got caught? Are they truly sorry that they did the things which they did? And so we need to be aware of these things. We need to understand that godly sorrow produces repentance that leads to salvation. And then we need to confess. And there's two different confessions in the Word of God, is that we need to confess our sins, but we need to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Philippians, the 2nd chapter, verses 9 through 12 says, therefore God also has exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and of those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. We may think that we're going to escape it now, but remember about God. What can he see? He knows us. He tests the mind. He knows who we are. Everybody's going to confess that Jesus Christ. I don't care who they are in this world. They may not believe in God. Just because they don't believe in him doesn't mean he doesn't exist. But they're all going to have to. We're all going to confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And then baptism. How do we get into Christ? We've got to be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. Acts 2:38 says, "Then Peter said to them, as they were pricked in their hearts, 'Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" And so when I read the gift of the Holy Spirit, what is that? The gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. It's the forgiveness of sins. And in 1 Peter the 3rd chapter, verse 21, this is also an antitype which now saves us. Baptism. Taking a bath? Peter says, no, baptism is not the removal of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God. That's why we do it. God told us to do it. People today in this world, religious leaders, they may say, you don't have to do it. But God's word says that we have to do it. Jesus said that he who believes and is baptized shall be what? Saved. He who disbelieves shall be condemned. And then after all those things, this world will teach you, once saved, always saved. It doesn't make any difference what happens to me. When I get up and leave, I can do whatever I want, because you know what? God's grace and mercy will cover me on everything that I do. And I hear it a lot at work. You know, people talk on one side of their mouth one time, but yet now they're going to go out and they use profanity every which way. They talk about going out and getting drunk and doing this and doing that. But you know what? In their mind, that God's going to take care of them. Once saved, always saved. Nobody can do anything to take me out of God's hand. But Peter, in 1 Peter, the 3rd chapter, verse 21, he says, be faithful unto death. There's no question that we have to be faithful. And he says that I will give you the crown of life. And that's the only way that we're going to be able to receive the crown of life, is to be faithful in all things. The song of encouragement this morning has been announced. Number 340. Jesus said, I gave my life for thee in this song. My precious blood I shed for thee, that thou mightst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee. What hast thou given for me? My Father's house of light, my glory circle throne, I left for earthly night, for wanderings sad and lone. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what his goal was, and he had the courage to follow through with it. I left it all for thee. Has thou left aught for me? Have we left everything to follow God and his word? Verse 3 says, and I have brought to thee down from my home above salvation full and free, my pardon and my love. I bring rich gifts to thee. What hast thou brought for me? So we'll be led in this song. As Brian, go ahead and lead us. I gave my life for thee.